Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. And we are in the 22nd Psalm, quite a psalm. We've seen from the very beginning of it where it declares, my God, why have you forsaken me? And how the psalmist is crying out. And we've seen in the first 21 verses how this is, the words sort of fail me, of foreshadowing the typology of prophetic proclamation of what would happen with the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, if you're just reading the Psalms, you can see just a tremendous persecution that takes place with someone in this psalm. But then Jesus quotes this psalm while he's on the cross. There's two or three verses out of this psalm that are told within the narrative, within the storyline that we have in the Gospels pertaining to Jesus' crucifixion. And so they're using the terminology here. In other words, they're saying this is the fulfillment of this psalm. Now, when we get to the end of the psalm, as often happens with the psalms, all of a sudden the psalmist, David, turns to praise, turns to glorifying God. Listen to what he says in verse 22. So this is Psalm 22, verse 22. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All you offspring of Israel, all you seed of Israel, the descendants of Israel. He's saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now, sometimes people will go, well, that's for the seed of Israel. That has nothing to do with us. No. Go read Romans. And you find out that we as believers have been grafted in. We're grafted in to Israel. And so he's saying, hey, y'all, worship him, glorify him, stand in awe of him. Verse 24, for he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. So remember how David, when he was saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm crying to you day by day. You haven't responded. By night, you haven't responded. And he says, I know that you're going to respond because you responded to my forefathers. Okay? He says, I know that in times past, my ancestors, my forefathers cried out to you and you heard them. And he says, I know you will do likewise with me, but you just haven't done it yet. You know? And now he's saying what? He's not going to despise or abhor the afflicted. He's heard when he has cried. Then verse 25, from you comes my praise in the congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. So he's literally saying the praise that I lift up to you, Most High, is from you. It's coming from you. It's from the Lord. And he said, I will praise you in the great congregation. I'm going to praise you, Lord, in the midst of everybody. Okay? I'm not going to be bashful or shy about this. I'm going to cry out to you. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. And so you go, wait a minute, is this the same psalm we've been reading? Well, yes, it is. Yes, it is. But we see this in many of the psalms. When David is working through his emotions, working through how he's feeling, working through what's happening, calling upon the Lord, being frustrated with it, the Lord starts moving within him, within might and power, and he realizes, and we'll see this in the Psalms in the 40s. He'll say at the end of it, why are you in despair, my soul? Put your hope in God. In other words, why am I thinking this way? Why am I going like this? You know, this is what I need to do. I need to praise the Lord. I need to realize that the afflicted are going to eat. I need to realize that the afflicted will be satisfied. I need to remember that those who seek him, who seek the Lord and who praise the Lord, that the Lord will rescue. And he said, may your hearts live forever. Verse 27. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. Now this gets really, really interesting. We're at the end of the psalm, four or five more verses. And now it's moving into a situation where he's saying that all the ends of the earth, not just the nation of Israel, not just the children of Israel, but all the nations of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. So this is a time which is yet to come from the psalmist's perspective, from David's time. It's still yet to come from our time. So part of this has been fulfilled, particularly the part about Jesus being crucified and that which is foreshadowed and pictured here. But the families of the nations worshiping before the Messiah, that is yet to come. Verse 28, for kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. So the Lord, Yahweh, has all kingship. The kingdom is how the New American Standard and King James calls it. For the kingdom is the Lord. By definition, the kingdom is the king's domain. The Lord is king, and all of creation is his domain. And he rules over the nations. Even now, he rules over the nations. And that's another whole subject matter we'll get into as we go along. Verse 29, all the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Or as the other three translations I'm looking at say, even those who cannot keep his soul alive. So he's saying what? That the ones who are still alive, the prosperous on the earth, they're going to eat and they're going to worship. Okay, they're going to worship before the Lord. But even those who have died prior to this time will worship the Lord. What does that tell you? Yes, a very strong picture of resurrection, of life after this corporeal existence. And then the last two verses, actually the last sentence of Psalm 22. Posterity shall serve him. Posterity? Well, the lexicon says descendants will serve him. Oh, okay. So that's what posterity is your descendants. King James says a seed shall serve him, which is the same picture. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation, and they shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. So they will come and tell his saving deeds to people yet to be born that he's done it. He's saying this, the things that we've seen, the things that God is doing, that those who have yet to be born are going to serve him. So much of what we do should be for this. Okay? I'm sort of in that season of life that this is the whole point and purpose why I do most of what I do is for posterity and for descendants. For those, yes, that are here right now, but those that are yet to come, that it will be told of them, that it will be told to them of what the Lord has done. And then they will proclaim his righteousness, okay? That the ones who are alive now will proclaim righteousness of the Lord to a people yet unborn. Those who are unborn will proclaim his righteousness and all that he has done, what he has performed. And that this will carry on from generation to generation to generation. I tell you what, with this understanding, when you go back and read the entirety of this psalm, it is amazing what David is proclaiming. Remember, this was sent to the choir director. This was to be sung. The people would have heard this and they would have learned it that way. And they would have remembered. May we do likewise. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.